In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Yes, Emmanuel shall come not only to the Gentiles, but first to the Jews. Emmanuel came to the Jewish people first. Remember, there were 3,000 Jewish people that were converted on the day of Pentecost. Today we're going to talk about what has happened with the women who have given birth and they were abortion-minded, but they changed their minds. What has happened to them? How are they doing? What are they doing? And Eleanor has a story to tell all of us, because this is very important for people who are abortion-minded. Every one of these people were abortion-minded, but they changed their mind.
Thank you, Father, so much. And hello to everyone the week before Christmas. And I think I'll take this opportunity now, Father. Everyone that's listening, I'm sending my love and my prayers, asking you all to have a very healthy, holy, happy Christmas and beyond. So, Father, well, there's several things I could tell you about this morning, but I think you're probably thinking about last evening. And so many people donated toys, Father. I did not buy these toys, but they were all delivered to my living room. They were donations, and they were in the living room, I guess 100 toys. And it looked like a toy store. And then about an hour later, Father, I invite all the mothers that I've talked to, not, of course, all of them, but several that needed things for their children for Christmas to come and to pick something for their little boy or little girl. So it was just, what can I say, Father? I always say, I wish Father were here, because you would join in the blessing, because Father, as you remember, you were the one that introduced me to pro-life work in an active way 14 years ago. So, but of course you weren't there. It was just me, and all the mothers came. And
how many mothers?
Seven, and then two are coming this afternoon. So we sat around the dining room table, and we had some coffee and apple cider and Christmas cookies, and they each had a couple of plastic bags, and they took the toys and laughing in the living room. And then when we all sat down at the dining room, it was just fun, Father, because the mothers, I pretty much listened, and the mothers were talking among themselves, and they knew exactly what part I played in their journey through this life. So they were easily led into conversation about what happened after they had the baby, and how happy they are, and what challenges they have. And gosh, we just sat around, and they mostly did all the talking, but a lot of laughing and a lot of admitting that it is still a challenge, but they're very, very, the important part is, you know what, Father, you may not be happy with your circumstances, but they were joyful, and there's a difference. They have the joy of the Lord in their hearts, and that's the most important thing to anyone that's listening. You may not be happy. Maybe you have illness in the family, or, oh gosh, depression, or any number of things. I could list it. But if you have the Lord in your heart, if you have joy in your heart, then you have it. That's all you need. Jesus said, I am enough. Jesus is enough. And these young women have Jesus, either through Bibles I've given them or some of them come to prayer meetings. It's so they do know Jesus. They know Jesus rescued them from regret and grief and shame that would have come upon them, unfortunately. It does happen. You do have a horrible regret, underline horrible. So these women knew that by the miracle of God touching them, that they now have a miracle, and they're very, very joyful about that. So it was so much fun, and they picked out so many things, and a few mothers, I guess maybe two will come this afternoon and maybe one tomorrow just to finish up all the gifts. But they were all donated, and it was heartwarming. And they love to share each other because they have things going on that I'm not involved in directly in their lives. So they each kind of gave each other advice. And it was like a mother's exchange. It lasted for an hour and a half, and it was just heartwarming. It was very, very excellent. So once again, Father, I thank you for getting me involved in pro-life work. And it reminds me too, like you say, you've been talking about Mary and Mary's yes. And, you know, Mary's yes is not just for us to read this week and talk about Christmas. Mary's yes is for us. It's for us because the Lord always calls us to do something. And that's the same thing. We have Jesus in our hearts. And if we have Jesus, then our command is to give Jesus away to other people. And how do we do that? And she received this beautiful command that she will have a child and she will be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. But we're called on to carry Jesus and to give him out in many, many, many ways. So many ways, you could call it an inspiration. The Lord speaks to us in quiet, in silence. That's why we should have a quiet time during this period of frenzy. No more frenzy. Whatever you've done to this point, that's it. Now just carve a little place in your bedroom, a little place in your home where you're going to be quiet and silent, because guess what? The Lord's waiting now to minister to you. Whoever's listening, he's waiting to minister to you because you've doing so much and you've done so much, and he wants to just hold you and caress you and minister to you and bless you. So take a little time now before Christmas. Advent actually is a time of meditation. So finish up today. That's it. Then go and have a quiet, peaceful time, because you know what? The Lord speaks to us in silence. He doesn't come real, you know, like a bright light and a noise or a thunderclap. He comes in a whisper. So if we're not quiet and serene and silent, we cannot hear his voice. And what is his voice saying? His voice is showing us and telling us and leading us to how we can give out Jesus to someone. And it could be something like, you could call it an inspiration, or you could call it a voice of the Lord, or you could call it a nudge from the Lord. See, a nudge is very simple, but it is from him because he's so sweet and gentle. He comes like that. So what does a nudge mean? Well, maybe someone's listening, and after you go into this quiet time with the Lord, you'll hear, call your sister. You haven't talked to your sister in 3 years. That's Jesus passing by, coming to you and giving you an inspiration or a nudge to reach out to love. It's all about love. Everything about this season and forever and ever throughout the year is love. So call your sister, or maybe the little inspiration is go to the nursing home or pick out something and give it to a homeless person. Keep some things in your car. This is a fun thing to do. Keep some things in your car, like candy. I don't know what you want to put in your car, but little presents. And you know what? The Lord, you will be amazed. You'll pull into a parking lot and the person will say, oh, can you get out of that spot? And you say yes, and say, can I give you a little something today? What? You want to give me something? Yes, the Lord told me to give you something. You know, we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. That's what Christmas is all about. Can I give you something today? That is so little. That is so simple, but it's so much fun. And that's reaching out. I mean, you don't have to have a you know, big box of candy, just something little, and the Lord will show you who to give it to, and He will put that person that needs that blessing right in your way, and if you let Him. And see, that's what Mary said. Mary said yes. So we're all going to say yes today. Lord, lead us to somebody that needs to know that Jesus is here. He's coming for Christmas. He's in our hearts, and we welcome Him. That's what Christmas is all about. So just remember the true meaning, and then pass it on to other people, and you'll just be blessed back 100 times.
The scripture says, but his mother, Mary, kept all these sayings in her heart. She kept all these sayings in her heart. A sword shall pierce your own soul, that the thoughts of many shall be laid bare. Oh, she heard and she pondered all this. With the shepherds who came to see the infant baby, she kept all these things in her heart, and she pondered them. She meditated on them. She was contemplation on the things that Jesus was all about. You see, Mary did not have all the answers. She knew a couple of things. She knew that she would bear the Son of God. She knew that. She knew that it had nothing to do with Joseph and had everything to do with the Holy Spirit. She knew that. She knew that when they were in Bethlehem, that these shepherds came, that Jesus, that she wondered, why shepherds? Why shepherds? I'm telling you why. Because He is the great shepherd. He is the shepherd of our souls. He said, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. And you know, this is the whole thing. Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes, and He was the only child that was born to die. No other child is born to die. They're born to live. Born to live, even if they live for 10 minutes. They're born to live, not to die. And Jesus was born to die so that we, you and I, might have life and have it more abundantly, that we would have that grace from Jesus, that His presence would be in our lives and in our hearts. This is so important. We were out with the people out in the street the other day. You should have seen their eyes when we gave them gifts, the gratitude that they had. You should have seen their eyes that they would receive gloves or toothbrush and toothpaste. Or one guy, you know, wanted the toothpaste, and we didn't have enough. And Maureen went into her car and got a couple more, and she gave it to the man. The man, like if you have given him $1 million, he wouldn't have been what he would delight in. He was so happy to have his own toothbrush and his own toothpaste. Imagine that. Just imagine that. We're talking about the poverty that these poor people live out on the street. They're out in the street, in alleys, in doorways, and I'm going to tell you, most of them are not bitter and angry and hateful. Most of them are filled with gratitude. When we're filling their bags up with food, they're very thankful. There's a man that comes to me every week and says, thank you, Father Tom. And I say, no, thank you for coming, because you know what? If you didn't come, we wouldn't be here. And all this, I want to tell you, all this stuff about going out to the streets for the last 15 years started with a no for me. Janet, my friend, said, we've been praying and praying, and now God is saying, go out to the streets and help the street people. I said, no, Janet, no, I'm too busy, I can't do anything else. So several weeks later, she comes up to me. The Lord is saying the same thing. Go out to the streets, because He wants us there. And I said, no, Janet, I can't do any more. Next time she asked me, she said, you don't need to do anything. The only thing you need to do is give us permission. So I said, you have permission. Little did I know that my kitchen would become the chicken place. 100 pounds of chicken being cooked every single Friday. It's like Topsy's chicken when we were kids. We would go to Topsy's for chicken. We have it here, over 100 pounds. But it all started with the no. I said, no, no. And then finally I said, yes. And you should see these people. They are filled with gratitude.
Oh, I love that story, Father. That's beautiful. It reminds me of that, I guess it's in the gospel, obviously. It's a parable. And it's about the father asked the son to do something, and the son said no. But guess what? Just like you, Father, he changed his mind and he went and did what the father asked. And then the other son said, sure, I'll do it. But guess what? He never did it. So which is the greater son? So, you know, when it makes me think too about Mary. Now, Mary, she was told, do not be afraid. And she said, thy will be done. I am the handmaid of the Lord. And so whatever we're thinking today, how we're going to reach out and say yes to our God, just like Mary did, because what a role model she is. What a beautiful role model. So we're going to pray that we have the courage to say yes. And if in the past we've said no on some items, just like Father said, it's never too late. Like if you said, I'll never talk to my family again, or I'll never call my brother, or I'll never go to that nursing home. Maybe we've all said those things. Father's honest to admit that, but we all have said no. But today's the day we're going to go and we're going to say yes. It's never too late to undo anything that we've maybe got ourselves into. We can go back and we can change all of those no's that we said and make them yes, just like the parable. And the thing about Mary too, Father, and here's the thing. The angel said, do not be afraid. So that's my message too. Whatever you're thinking, okay, maybe I should call my brother, but I'm afraid he might hang up. Whatever. You do it. You can't worry about what happens, what other people do. So I say that, the same thing the angel said, do not be afraid. And you know how many times Jesus has said that in the Gospels, Father. I mean, they say he said it. I never counted, but I heard he said it 365 times. Do not be afraid. And there was a reason he said that so much, because we are human and we're afraid our feelings will get hurt. We're afraid what people will think about us if we step out. So remember, do not be afraid. Just do something today. Do something this week. Do something in the new year. Something that you wanted to do, but you let it go. Now's the time to change.
All these women that were at Eleanor's house yesterday started with the no. They started with the no. We're going to have an abortion. They said no. That's what they said. But because people were out there giving love, what else?
Hope, help, and love.
Hope, help, and love. They changed their mind. Their no became yes. And they had their children. How many people have you seen deliver children, been in the delivery room?
I've been in the delivery four times. And one time I was on the birthing team. And because they couldn't, the baby was coming so quickly. I went in and I prayed, but all of a sudden the baby's coming. So the nurses came in and said, you'll have to be on the birthing team because we can't get everybody here. And I said, you must be kidding me. And they said, no, we want you on the birthing team because you are calming. You have a calming effect. So anyway, I was on the birthing team. That was the first one there. Otherwise, I was just in the room, which was exciting. I mean, you have to experience it. There's no explaining what it's like. And it's like you can't see one birth, one baby coming through the canal and the birth canal and say, well, I've seen that. You know, what else is new? It's just like a sunset and a sunrise. You don't say, well, I've seen that sunset before. They're all different. Everyone is different. Everyone's creative. Everyone's beautiful. Everyone's a miracle. So, but one thing too, Father, I wanted to say, you were talking about miracles and things that happen. I forgot to tell you this, but there was a woman that I had that was pregnant, and they detected something during the ultrasound that wasn't correct. It's something to do with the brain. And they thought that she should have an abortion. But this woman, because they said, the doctor said the baby will die shortly after birth. And the woman, there was no debate. She said, I'm having the baby. And she did go on to have the baby, and the baby did die 2 days later. So the point of that is she went the full time. The baby was born. She was able to have a beautiful, blessed funeral. She brought it to full end, and she has such healing with that. Such, she's been blessed to do that versus the other way, taking some doctor's opinion and then just ending everything right there. Let the Lord, let the God end the life. If it's a day into living, 1 day after birth, then so be it. Or if it's 4 weeks or 8 weeks, there again, let our God lead us. And let us say yes to birth, even if it would be a difficult situation. Let our God bring you through that, and you will be blessed entirely by going the full way instead of saying, no, I don't want that pain. I don't want to go through that. It's always a negative, but turn that negative into a positive. And anything you're thinking of today, doesn't have to be what I just said, but any negative you have, turn it around. Turn it around to be in a positive thing. Turn it around to be an affirmative. And also, Father, I'm thinking, you know, Mary said yes, and she's our role model. But not only did she say yes, she walked the walk. She continued all through that for all those years. And then she was with Jesus at the very end. And you have often said, how do you get through that? To get through the crucifixion and everything. And she went right through the whole thing. She never complained. She just went through. She, in fact, when she found out that Elizabeth was going to have a baby, she wasn't sitting home saying, oh, I don't think I'll be able to do this. Do not be afraid, but I am afraid. She got in on a donkey. I guess she went on a donkey. I don't know. But she went across the country, and that was quite a trip for a pregnant woman to visit Elizabeth. So not only did she walk the walk, her own walk, but then she reached out to other people where she could have sat home and felt a little bit sorry for herself or like, how am I going to do this? But no, she packed up and she went out and she visited somebody else. She forgot about herself. She did something positive. So I think that's a good Christmas message. But not only that, it's a message forever and ever.
You remember what Elizabeth said, who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? The mother of my Lord. We remember what the angel said, nothing is impossible with God. My friends, I just want to tell you, that's a reality. Nothing is impossible with God. Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the sound of your voice, the baby jumped, leapt, danced in my womb. Oh, yes. You see, Mary was not about Mary. Mary was about Jesus and the Father. Mary is always about Jesus and the Father. Neath the cross of Jesus stood his mother. Yes, she was right there. And that's where the sword of sorrow pierced her heart. Again, I've never heard anyone preach on that sword of sorrow. That was reality. That was reality, that Mary mystically died under the cross with Jesus. Mystically. You see, there's no one like Mary because she is like Jesus. She's not God. She's not superhuman. But her face is always toward God. Her face is always toward Jesus. She had no life of her own. You know, everyone can count up nine. When she went to Elizabeth's house and came back, she must have been pregnant pretty well, that it was showing. And you know, Mary endured hardship from people. That's real. No one ever talks about that either. But that's real. Jesus endured that too. St. John's Gospel intimates that at a certain place. I'm telling you that there's no one like Jesus. That's what Mary would say. There's no one like Jesus. No one like Jesus. And just put yourself in his hands. Tell us about the Savior you had a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, well, this was on Wednesday, actually. And it goes to a no. And I'll speak and tell you briefly. A couple were going into Planned Parenthood. Now, the man was leading the woman. The woman was reluctant. The man was saying yes, and the woman was saying no. And they didn't want any information. You could see that he was just pushing her in. And this is another thing. Don't let anyone push you and talk you into something that you know that's wrong. And if it's a mother, you are the mother. Remember, you are the mother, and stand by that. So, but anyway, Father, the good part of it is they did come out, because she was in there in the waiting room, and she was convicted, and she decided, no, I'm not going to let anybody say no to me. I am saying yes. I am the mother. I will have this baby. So they came out 35 minutes later, and the man was angry. He yelled at us because he doesn't want to pay 18 years of child support. But the mother said yes, and they got in their car, and she said, we're not having the abortion. And she took charge. She took authority. And she was strong, and she had courage. So that's our prayer today, Father. We pray for courage to follow the will of the Lord.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. That's what Mary said. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the Word became flesh and pitched his tent among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Today, keep your eyes upon Jesus. Keep your eyes upon Jesus and turn your eyes away from the negative. I'm speaking to myself. May Jesus Christ be praised. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.